welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Aaron.
I said it like the Silence of the Lambs. Hello, yeah. Bill.
Hello, Clarice.
My name is Barack Obama.
No, it's got to be Clarice if it's Silence of the Lambs. Come on.
And today I'm smoking marijuana.
Yes, there you go.
Aaron, can I say that we have probably the most good-looking engineer, young engineer, that I have ever seen at this radio station.
That's freaking me out, but he has more hair than you do. Is that what we're talking about? And that's all we can see behind the screen.
It's just his hair blob. Okay. All right. My girlfriend said the same thing to me today, so I'm insulted.
There's some sort of hair envy going on. I'm not sure how that fits into the program.
Let's get back to...
the DEA?
Yeah, let's get back to the DEA. So,
did we skip last hour that we were going to do?
Well, Hannah, I want you to know that you and I are brothers and sisters in the DEA. I went through DEA training in
70-something. Come on, admit it.
I went through in 19 old, and I went through a six-week school, and it was the best narcotics training I ever received in my life. So tell me about you as a young intern and what they had. You said you were working on the fentanyl issue, I think. But tell me how did you get there? How does a young person, you know, reach out to the DEA and say, "Hey, I want to come to Washington and do an intern.
Yeah,
I want to be a DEA." How did all that happen?
Yeah, so honestly, it started back in high school when I became extremely passionate about drug prevention, specifically marijuana prevention. I started networking, and then I heard about the DEA, and I really thought it was like the only big push to stop drugs in our country. So it kind of just, it came on my heart at an earlier age, and then it just grew. And when the time college came around, I was like, I need to figure out a way to get to the DEA. And I networked, and I know you guys are familiar with Smart Approaches to Marijuana. And Kevin Sabet, he is the CEO of Smart Approaches, and I connected with him, and he connected me with someone in DEA. And long story short, I connected with him, and then I ended up getting an internship at the headquarters in drug prevention education.
And what did they do? Yeah. What training did they give you? What parameters did they give you?
Yeah.
What actually happened when you actually get, you know, you leave Wisconsin and you all of a sudden you go to Washington D.C. and you're in an apartment in South D.C. going like, oh my God, this is a ghetto.
No, it was totally different. It was such a cool experience, but totally different. I mean, Wisconsin, where I live specifically, it's very like community based, very safe. And when I went to D.C., it was like we had to lock two doors, lock the door to my apartment, like totally different. My packages were getting stolen. So just like the way of life is so different. But actually, my first day at my internship, it was so funny. I got an email saying it actually happens to be a CATCA event, which is a national drug prevention group. And DEA was supposed to be there. And they were like, Hannah, are you good to just like first week on? Started CADCA, and I was like, oh my gosh, no problem. So I started at this event, and it was pretty much a conference, but we had a booth there and kind of just to network with other people. So that was really awesome because right off the bat, I got to talk to other schools and organizations there. So my first week started a lot differently than normal. It was just jumping right in, which it ends up just being awesome. And I got to hear people from DEA speak there and just learn more about DEA in general and what they were doing in the drug prevention space. It's definitely not as big. I mean, in our government, I feel like we definitely don't have enough drug prevention. So I'd love to see that grow. And I know it is growing in DEA. But, that was just my first week. And then off of that, I updated publications. I got to meet different families. There is Faces of Fentanyl wall at DEA headquarters, and people could submit photos of their loved ones that passed away from fentanyl, and sometimes they would come and visit that wall, so I got to meet some families that came in to see their loved one on the wall as a memorial. So that was, I mean, that's very touching, and that's very hard to see, but it was also just cool getting to hear their stories and being them for theirs, their grieving. So it was, I mean, there were just so many different things I did. And it, I mean, overall, it was just an awesome experience. But I think the best part was talking to people and learning and hearing what they saw firsthand.
Did they give you the DEA t-shirt, that gold and blue t-shirt that DEA wears? That's what I want to know. Did you ever get a t-shirt for all your work with them?
Did you go there and get the t-shirt?
I did not get the t-shirt.
Oh my God, Anna.
I know. There's these super cool jackets, and I wanted one so bad. But unfortunately, because I was not an agent, I could not receive a jacket. But I did. I got some little stuff, of course. The people I worked with were just amazing and so friendly. But no apparel.
It was funny. We had this neighbor, and his wife would only tell us he worked for the government, and he was gone all the time, and we were all on acreage, so it's not like we were right next door, but, you know, he'd come and go, and you'd see him infrequently, and it's like, well, what does he do anyway? Yeah, he works for the government. It was always like, huh, I wonder what this guy does. So one day, he's out there mowing his grass, and he's driving around on his riding lawnmower, and starts raining a little bit, then all of a sudden he starts driving by again, and he's wearing an FBI jacket.
Incognito.
Everybody was like, huh, I guess we answered that question. So the jacket, you know, could come in handy later.
Yeah, they're cool. But yeah,
hold out for that.
And then Hannah, what happened after that? So you've done your thing at DEA, and then did you make the decision, like, you know, I'm not sure if I want to be an agent. This probably isn't going to be my career path, but I'm passionate about prevention. I'm going to move on. Did you go through that kind of, you know, Rubik's Cube in your mind?
Oh, 100%, and I'm still going through that. I loved my experience, but, again, I am so passionate about marijuana prevention, especially because I think it's lacking in my generation, kids my age. I just don't see a lot of it. So I know that's my calling, and I know that's what I was made to do. So I'm definitely just on this journey trying to figure out the best way to do it. And I mean, I'm definitely still open to becoming a DEA agent. I have started that process, but long term, I know my heart's in marijuana prevention and just stopping what's going on right now in the nation.
Well, just out of curiosity, do you think that the, just like back into your high school time and into college, are the other drugs being, is the prevention message good enough on them, and really the whole marijuana part hasn't caught up, or is it, or can you throw it all in the same bag and say all drug prevention is still really lacking?
Yeah, I definitely think all drug prevention is still lacking. And, even with alcohol, too, you see, I feel like that's very common in high schools and in colleges, and working in recovery now, a lot of people, that's where they started, because that's just the culture. The culture is to party all the time and do things that are not healthy for your body. So I think it lacks in so many ways, and it's not even just the lack of education, but also we need, like, a societal shift. I feel like we have... we put on a pedestal wrong. A lot of people, like, that's what I mean. We hold partying and drinking and doing these things so much higher than what should be, which I see as, like, health and wellness and bettering each other while bettering ourselves. So I think there just needs to be a shift overall, having fun without using substances to do it.
Yeah, it always kind of cracks me up. You know, we're all hung up on no GMOs and gluten-free and all this stuff, and then they're all, you know, eating marijuana food.
Right.
And you're like, huh. Like, makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Right. No, for sure.
But backing up on your life personally, Hannah, without divulging...
The only one she gets, you mean?
The only one she gets, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. Your personal life, the only one you get. So let's go back a couple of years. I know from talking to you that you found that your path through physical fitness was absolutely a factor in you not using drugs. Is that true?
Oh, for sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Was it the coaches and teams that you worked with that made you feel that way? Did you feel, you know, that you were responsible to something greater than self?
Yeah, I think there's just so many factors in that. For one, like my parents, my grandparents, my family, they all were huge advocates of healthy lifestyles, and they were great role models for me. But yeah, aside from that, like, I was very fortunate with my teachers. in middle school specifically, I remember teachers, they were really good about having conversations with us. And even though we didn't have specific, like, education on this stuff, they were super encouraging about healthy lifestyles and stuff like that. So going forward, I think I just continued to dive into wellness and health. And I just knew that long term, that was going to have positive ramifications, rather than if I were to go down the path of drinking and experimenting in drugs, that I could end up somewhere I didn't want to be.
And then you moved from DEA on to another pursuit with another organization. Was there something in between, or what was the next organization you picked up with?
Yeah, so I after DEA, I had a little bit of schooling left. So I finished school a few months later, and during that time, I was a barista, so I went back to doing that for a little bit. And then big coffee drinker. And then after that, that's when I started working at the recovery center.
Okay, and so tell us about your life at the recovery center. What do you do, and what's the recovery center? What is it? What do they do?
Yeah, so it's called Northern Illinois Recovery Center, and we have inpatient. We have all levels of care, so starting from detox and inpatient, which is typically you're coming in and you're needing help to get off of something, and then you stay there for, you hear 30 days thrown around a lot, but we go further than that. And then we also offer an outpatient program, which is with optional housing, but not everyone does that, so you can just come yourself. But, so it's a full continuum of care, and we have a substance abuse help, but also mental health help, so we kind of tie in the two. And my role within the company, it's actually a new role, and my sole purpose is to help people navigate treatment, make them feel comfortable. So it's a lot of one-on-one time with clients, I hear their stories a lot of the times. I try to connect with them and just make them feel comfortable throughout treatment so they can get the most out of it. And then I run the alumni program. So after treatment, I can call in and see how they're doing and try to plan events to just keep the sober community alive.
So you can start with this is all drugs, including alcohol.
Yes. Yep.
And you do you get are these self referrals?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious. Is it court
or is it court?
No. So it is self referrals, mainly self and loved ones calling to get help for someone.
And are you funded by private monies or?
Yeah.
Any public money in your program?
I don't believe so. I think it's mainly private. But I do know we have some grants. We offer some grants.
So is it fair to say that your clients that come in, and that's what we get to call them, right? Clients. They don't get to call them drug users anymore. They're clients. So your
clients,
right? So your clients are usually coming in with some kind of financial means to be able to pay for this, because it cannot be cheap.
Yeah, so we're technically called out of pocket, but we are very flexible, and we try to get people help right away because we don't want money to be a barrier. We're very flexible, and we work with every situation a little bit differently.
Do you get family interventions that show up with somebody in handcuffs and say, okay, take them,
kind of duct taped in the back seat?
And are you a locked facility? Is there a locked facility?
So we definitely get a lot of everything. It's new every single day and what we see. But it is a completely voluntary program, so we're not going to hold anyone against their will.
Darn. Everybody wants that to happen. It's really interesting. Whenever this topic comes up, they're like, well, we just need to take them. And it's like, okay, stop yourself. We don't get to take them anywhere. That's not actually one of our choices anymore. We did that years ago. It didn't work out so well.
Especially that I'm learning after being there for a little bit longer is as much as the role I want to play on helping people be drug free, ultimately it's up to them. Mm-hmm. And you can only try so hard, but at the end of the day, it's their decision. So I think that kind of ties into just being voluntary, because you can't force anything on someone. All you can do is just try your best and plant those seeds.
So let me back you up on that.
Hold on 1 second. We have to take a really quick break, and then we'll let you back up.
Okay.
He's going to practice backing up on the break. He's going to be really good at it when we come back.
I'm doing my moonwalk right now. Michael Jackson's got nothing on me.
This is a good old people moonwalking in a radio studio.
whoa.
That'll be our show next week. Oh, my gosh. We're going to take a really quick break. Our guest is Hannah Palmer. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Into a
go, Hannah Palmer, the musical. There's your theme song right there.
So
we've stalled long enough, Officer Joe. Yeah. What about all this backing up you're doing?
Well, I thought I did a good moonwalk. I really
He's
did.
Like, wait, what was I going to talk about?
My shoes got stuck to the floor, though, so I actually wasn't moving at all.
Like, I'll stall for time.
Okay, Hannah. So last week, I attended a local meeting here on fentanyl, and we had all the partners were there, and we were talking about what's the most effective way to use our money. And you, as a private organization, money, of course, is, you know, drives treatment. And what came out of that meeting was I was standing up going like, hey, hold on now. You know, yeah, fentanyl kills everybody, but marijuana is going to affect more of our kids in this community. You know, yeah, does somebody die of fentanyl? Did we have 52 deaths here locally last year? Yes, we did. I have a personal feeling about that, which I will tell. I personally think that if someone takes a pill and they want to meet Mr. Darwin, they just might. And I would rather focus on this generation that I want to prevent from destroying their lives. Because honestly, Hannah, it's going to be you that takes over this world. Aaron, myself, and Bill, we'll all be gone from this earth. And there'll be marijuana here for the next, you know, millennia. If we don't get a control on it in our country, it's just going to be the base drug that everybody's going to go to, and we're going to see a lot more drug. And there's all the studies now that show that, oh, it's not a gateway drug. Absolutely, high potency is a gateway drug. Do you believe that? And does your research?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, the number one predictor that teens that have used opioids in the past 30 days is whether they've used marijuana in their lifetime. So 100% a gateway drug.
What's the next step for you? Well, you've got one more organization that you worked for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us who that is and what they're all about.
Yeah, so Donnie's Ambassadors, and you've had Laura on the show before, I believe.
Yes.
But, yeah, she goes around and speaks to schools every week about the dangers of
THC. Hold on 1 second. We have a bad static going on.
Oh, shoot.
Is there a...
Sometimes the radio tower does that, but I can kind of modify it.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That's much better.
Yeah. Is it better?
Yeah, it's starting to get to the point where we couldn't hear you. Okay.
Oh, geez.
All right.
We're back, Hannah.
Back to Johnny's Ambassadors.
Yeah, Johnny's Ambassadors.
Yeah. Did you hear what I said before or no?
Yes. You went to work for Laura Stack and Johnny's Ambassadors. Could you tell us what that is first?
Yeah. No, for sure. So Johnny's Ambassadors, Laura started because her son sadly passed away, and he used marijuana. He started using medical marijuana in Colorado, and she saw the firsthand effects that it had on him, and he ended up dying by suicide.
Jumped off a four-story building.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, obviously devastating. And THC, again, the only thing in his system. So because of all that, she started a nonprofit and she spreads awareness. She has a community online, which I think is just incredible because there's so many different people that join the community, people dealing with psychosis, schizophrenia, loved ones, people in the prevention space. Really, it entails everyone. And then she does advocacy work, talking to schools. And I've helped her on a few things and been able to talk to some schools on her behalf, which has been super cool.
And you're a Johnny's ambassador, aren't you?
Yes.
And so,
yes.
So I am too, so people understand what that program is. Laura's foundation takes you through training on how to actually train adults and train students on the dangers of marijuana. And she has put together really, I would say, a world-class program. Wouldn't you agree, Hannah? It's
yeah.
World-class.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible.
Yep.
And her books, I would highly recommend her books. I had a parent, I was reading one in the hot tub the other day, and I had a parent saw me reading the cover. She saw the cover of the book, and she asked me about it because her son was using it, and she had no idea what to do. She saw the side effects, and she had no idea marijuana could do that. And I immediately was like, you need to read this book. It's so informative. It gives you a lot of statistics and data and then personal stories as well.
Hannah, her book, which you're going to tell me the title because I don't have it in front of me, I read it cover to cover 3 times, and then I made notes in the margins all the way through, and it was so impactful on me. I wrote a note in the beginning of it, a personal note, which I won't tell you about, to Laura, and then I Xeroxed it, and I sent it to her. And she said, holy moly, Officer Joe. And I said, yeah, I so feel for you and all the people that lose their lives to this drug and how it affects their families. And it has affected their family extensively. And so Laura's dedicated her life to making sure no other kids go through that. So you went through the program and you helped Laura. And you're still a Johnny's Ambassadors today.
Yes, and just to mention the books, the first one's The Dangerous Truth About Today's Marijuana.
Yes.
And that's her story with all the stats. And then she released another one, which is just different families from all over the nation, and it's the impact of THC on our children, and it's different family stories.
And unfortunately, that's becoming all too common, isn't it, with the statistics of marijuana use. What are you going to do with your Johnny's Ambassadors training?
Yeah, I am excited to see where it takes me. I'm not sure. I've been trying to get into more schools. I just got to do one this week in Wisconsin, my home state, so that was really cool. But, anywhere I can go, I think knowledge is power, and I just want to keep learning more and sharing what I've learned. Especially, aside from statistics and facts, I think personal experience is also very powerful. Johnny is one example, and even in my own life, I've had a lot of friends that they had adverse effects from marijuana, and just seeing it play out in their own lives, it affects everyone differently, but especially just mentally, like draining your mental capacity, affecting your decision-making, your thinking, your memory, little things that it changes over a period of time, but people need to realize like that plays a big effect in your whole life.
Well, when you say you have, because we hear, we've all heard, and that I had friends that were affected by this, and that and that means something. When people hear that, if they have no frame of reference, give us some actual examples. Like what have you seen in your travels? Because I don't think people really realize how bad this gets. It's like, oh, what did they do? Waste their time away. Like people in our age bracket with the 2% THC, they're thinking, oh, the kids that I, smoked pot with in high school all just hung out and were unproductive. Like that was the greatest danger years ago, was that you were going to be unproductive.
Yeah. And I would love to talk on that. First off, I think in my mind the worst possible outcome is going to be psychosis and schizophrenia, and I have seen that. I've talked to families been affected by it, and see it play out in people that I know's lives, and it is, no, obviously nobody wants that to happen to them, and nobody thinks it will. But when it does, it's so scary because you're just not in your right state of mind. You're thinking things that aren't real, and that's one effect. But I mean, more common effect is going to be just increased anxiety. It, honestly, like, I've just seen marijuana, it becomes people's number one focus. Like, they need to go out and smoke, and it has such a pull on them, and it takes away from just their social life, their connection with people, because it becomes the number one thing they care about. And just how it affects your brain, increasing anxiety, increasing depression, making your memory worse, your grades plummet, your motivation lower. There's just so many things. I can go on and on. As I said at the beginning, people, they start getting suicide ideation. I've seen that. I've seen friends come to me and they're smoking and they're feeling suicidal and they haven't felt that way before. But on the other side of things, I've also had friends that they were going through this. They were smoking constantly. And a lot of the times, like, it would be peer pressure in group settings, but it would also be like they just felt good when they smoked. And that one friend that I was really close to in college, she was smoking a lot, and she finally stopped. And just like the improvement she saw, it was awesome that I was along for that ride, because I would talk to her about it all the time. And just getting off it, like, her mental clarity was there. Her lungs felt better. She was a better athlete. There's just so many pros to not using that I just wish more people would see.
What methods of consumption are most prevalent among youth now? Is it vape devices? Is it smoking green leaf? It's vape devices?
No, I think it's a mix. I know, like, smoking the leaf, I think that's really big, but the thing with vapes and dabs, it's easy to get away with because it goes away. And it's just easy to use. So I think that's really big, especially in schools, because people will do that in the classroom, which is, I mean, I saw that in high school, and that's horrible in itself, because it's taken away from other people's education, and not even to get started on secondhand smoke. But, I think that and edibles, I honestly think everything being used, it kind of comes in waves, what's more popular at the time, but, people are grabbing whatever they can get their hands on.
What about some terms? Because terms, I'm much older than you, Hannah, and we had these terms.
Much, much older.
Yeah, much older. And we had terms that were taught to us by the DEA back in my...
Yeah.
And then all through my patrol career, we had terms. And just so you know, in my career, did I ever make arrests for major amounts of marijuana? Yes, but marijuana back then wasn't an issue like it is today. The issues in my police career were phencyclidine and cocaine, especially rock cocaine. That's what really hit my career really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I got right to the end of my career when marijuana came in for medical marijuana in California back in 94, and then we legalized in 2014. And as soon as we legalized, it just exploded here, and law enforcement wasn't ready for it at all. And just our Hannah, I do. As an aside, you're given always an open invitation to come out here. We'll get a friend with an airplane, and I'll take you over the grows. And once seen, can never be unseen. When you go over 10 miles of marijuana grows, thousands of them, you just go like, "Is this America?" And
yeah,
and we can't do anything about it. So let's go over some terms. Can you help me out?
Yeah,
teach me.
Okay, sure. So, wait, do you want me to tell you terms?
Yeah. You tell me terms.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you want me to go over dabs and edibles?
Yeah, what is dab? I hear that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, okay, no problem. So, dab, it's high-potency marijuana, and it's like a whack. And there's dab pens, and you can put dabs in the pen. And I think of it as similar to vape, where it, I don't know, that's just like how I see it. It kind of looks like one, but it's a little bit longer. And both of them just can evaporate in the air after you blow it.
Is that what they call a cart, CART?
Yeah.
Okay, because a lot of people don't know that term.
So you light it on fire, you...
Does the dab have the same... Does it have a smell like when you smoke it?
I think I think they're a little bit different, but I think dabs, the majority of them are not going to smell like a typical like joint or a joint would.
Yeah.
So that smell, Hannah, is the smell from terpenes, pinene, limonene, and about, I don't know, there's probably 10 terpenes in marijuana that people smell. And and obviously they market and make marijuana in different, and today with all the synthesized marijuana, they add all kinds of adulterants, including things that make it smell one way or the other. So, okay, so we've got this thing called dabs. What else? What other terms? And we know about carts now. What else?
Yeah. So dabs, carts.
How about street names?
Street names. I mean, honestly, I feel like I don't really hear street names. It's usually people are just like, we're going to go smoke or we're going to take an edible. I feel like people are pretty straightforward with it, unless they're using like, a lot of times like people will text about it and use emojis. So like the puff emoji, stuff like that. But I feel like for the most part, people are, they're talking about it and they're open about it because they don't think it's a big deal.
And accessing it, they're using social media to access it with each other.
Yeah.
And then
online
purchases?
Especially Snapchat, because your caps can go away. So, I mean, most of the people that I know that have gotten it online, it's through Snapchat.
That's good for parents to know. In case of Emily, the parents did not know. And once her phone was released by the coroner, the parents found out the level, what was going on in their daughter's life with drug use, and you know, a video of her lighting up a dab. So because you're a good person, you don't know the street names, so I'm not going to go over those today.
We're going at this from somebody who actually was never a drug addict.
Right.
Good idea. What a great idea. Just out of curiosity, what is more, I guess maybe this is hard to quantify, in your experience, since it's all you get, what are you seeing? Are people more into the whole edible thing, or is it still just regular hanging out with their friends smoking pot?
I think it's both. I think there is a big pressure for people to smoke together because it's the cool thing to do, or it's a way to bond with your friend. Mm. But also just, I know people that will just take an edible for fun, or they think it helps them sleep. Or a lot of times they'll take one and something really bad will happen because it's a high dose, and they just have noise. They think it's going to be good for them, but then they have an adverse reaction to it. And I've seen, for some reason this summer, I've seen that a lot of, I mean, personally, I've seen like 4 accounts of it where I'm just with someone and for some reason they take an edible and they go into shock almost. It looks like they're having a stroke.
Yeah, we learned about...
That sounds like fun.
What is it? Couch paralysis or couch cornea? What's it called?
Couch paralysis.
No, it had a name.
Oh, I know.
I remember that a long time ago. It was they become basically paralyzed on the
catatonic almost.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, there's this thing called hyperemesis. Could you tell us what you know about it? And have you ever seen it in your life or had any of your friends discuss it with you?
Yeah, I actually was just reading that a study came out that over 2 million people suffer from it. I don't know if you guys saw that. I think it came out like yesterday or 2 days ago. But to give the listeners just an idea of what it is CHS, it's pretty much like a reaction your body has from smoking weed, and it's nonstop throwing up. Also, like, scromiting is a term used when you're scream vomiting. And it's accompanied by severe stomach pain. A lot of people become severely dehydrated from that, and it has resulted in death before. But I've seen people come in before.
Hold it, marijuana. Hold it. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that somebody died as a result of marijuana? Because marijuana doesn't kill people, isn't that correct?
Right.
Well, it also doesn't cause scream vomiting, right?
I was so shocked when that number came out, and even there's a Facebook group out with people talking about it, and it has, I want to say, like 30,000 people in this support group for others, like everyone suffering from cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome.
And there's no treatment for that other than hot showers, and occasionally they'll give antipsychotic drugs. Is that true?
Yeah, and I mean, what's so interesting is that people also say it doesn't cause addiction, but you see people suffering from this, and they know they have to quit smoking to heal from it, but they can't stop smoking because they are addicted. And it's just like this horrible cycle.
Wow, that sounds like something I want to learn about. Definitely, yeah. Definitely worth trying and see if maybe you are one of the lucky winners. Wow, every time we do a show on this, I'm like, really? And this is becoming really popular. We have to take a really quick break. I have a couple of very nice songs we're going to hear. Let's take a different tack. We'll just go for the nice side, and then we'll finish up with Hannah Palmer, our guest today on We the People. You can find this program later, commercial free, free to listen to, free to share at wethepeopleradio.us.
A giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
We've played that song every now and then over the years, and I can't think of anybody it fits better than you. This is
I love it.
Yeah, that is really what you bring to this, because there are a lot of people who have seen addiction, come back from it, been impacted by it, come back from it, overcome, and all those, and those are all really important, and those are super important stories to tell. But for you to make a decision early as a young person to fight something that is this big a scourge on our society, and make the level of commitment that you have is, I mean, thank you for doing that, because there are not enough of you.
Yeah, well, thank you. That means so much, because it definitely has been a journey, and being such a voice to drug prevention and marijuana prevention is definitely not easy. It's not the cool thing to do. People don't love hearing what you have to say all the time, but I think it's worth it. And at the end of the day, I see it as the right thing to do. And I feel more like myself when I'm talking about this, because it's something I am really passionate about, and I can see it making a big difference in the future.
Well, you have the ability to make an impact that none of us can. We can share a lot of information, and that's hopefully, we're like, it's kind of a throwback thing, but, you know, you can be Gladys Knight, we'll be the Pips, you know, like, we're the better backup singers.
She probably doesn't know who Gladys Knight is.
I know, that's what's so fun about it. Well, the old people will even get the joke. But I mean, we can be the backup, but we're not credible with your age group. Not really.
Yeah. And even, I mean, I think you guys you do amazing work, and everyone has some sort of, like, you can touch so many lives regardless of age and stuff, but even people discredit me because the fact that I've stayed sober and I've never used marijuana. People say you'll have no idea, but I mean, personally, I don't think you need to try something to already know it's bad. Like, I've read the side effects. I've read what's happened to other people. I see the growing concern. I think that's enough for people not to use. So I just try to get that word out there.
Well, that's something that's always been kind of a pet peeve of mine is mm-hmm. so many people are held up on pedestals because they used and they were addicted and they overcame and they've seen the light and done good things. And God bless them, they're healthy now. But there's not enough people that are held up because they didn't do it. They didn't.
Amen.
They said no. And I think mm-hmm. they need a lot more recognition.
Well, I'm curious, Hannah, and I was thinking about this earlier when you were talking about the recovery center. Many of the people who are part of recovery centers, work in them and all that, they are people who previously had experience with drug use. And I kind of thought that was a bit of a, I don't know, like rite of passage. Like you can't work at a drug treatment place if you weren't a drug addicted person. So how does that work?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, that's very true. It has been tough at some points because I am not in recovery, so, and a lot of people are. But at the end of the day, I do think it is good for me to be there because of how I am and how I live my life, that I can connect with people and they could look to me saying, like, okay, she's sober. She's got it down. How can we learn from each other? And I heard this a while ago, but first seek to understand if you wish to be understood. So I always hear people out and try to see where they're coming from. And then I just hope they hear me out and it will help them go further and onto the next parts of their life.
Yeah, I do. I think it's really important. Of the people that you have encountered in like all the sort of recovery sites, so the people that are, I guess on not the people that are using drugs or trying to get off them, but the people that are in prevention. How many of them are former are personally former drug users? Is that most or hardly any or?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's a mix. I think, first off, you have some sort of experience and that's why you're involved, whether it's your own use, whether it's a loved one's use, or maybe you just heard about stuff and you're like, wow, this is a big issue. I think it's a mix for sure. But we can use all the people we can get in drug prevention.
Absolutely. I just was kind of curious because it seems like in our time doing programs and things about this, almost everyone was personally impacted in some way, either themselves, mm-hmm. family members, something.
Mm-hmm.
You've kind of come at this from a very different route.
Yeah, and it's hard. Some, like I said at the beginning, like some people discredit me because I've never used, but I still think it's very powerful just because I chose not to. And you've always heard that saying, you are who you hang out with. And I think if you surround yourself with people that are healthy and they're drug free and they're trying to grow and trying to be better, that you can turn your life around. So I try to find people like that and I try to be that person to other people.
I think that's really great. And you're so I'm curious, do you come from a big family, a little family?
Yeah, I come from like a medium sized family. I think it's just me and my sister.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I'm the only one that's super passionate about this in my family, but they're all supportive 100%, which is really awesome to have.
That's cool. I was curious. Yeah. I'm like, she's an only child. I've been like guessing, right?
Yeah, no, I got a sister, but she's amazing.
I like that. Yeah. Well, I got that sister, but she's amazing. They get more amazing as you get older. They're not always so amazing when you're a little kid.
Yeah, for sure. We still have problems sharing clothes, but we'll get past that one day.
That's funny. Well, I think that's cool. So did we skip any?
Well,
I know we skipped tons of stuff, but we're in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. So I just want to acknowledge how appreciative I am that there are Hannahs in the world, and I hope that there's 100,000 Hannahs out there. And Hannah, for me, to you personally, and to all the listeners, I think you're a very special person, and I am so appreciative that I had the ability to get trained by you and to know you, and I hope this is the beginning of a long-term relationship between us, and you'll be on my marijuana mailing list from now on, so prepare to get your inbox.
Incoming!
Prepare to get...
I'm just excited that after 63 years, I got to find out who Hannah is.
Oh my gosh, no, thank you so much for your time, because that truly means so much. Honestly, I've struggled a lot with feeling alone in this, and just, I don't know, it can be hard growing up in high school and you feel like you're the only one drug-free, only one making that choice. So hearing people say, like, they feel lucky that there's me out there, it really does mean a lot.
Well, and with that comes the responsibility, Hannah, and there is a responsibility. You know, every day I get up and I go, today's the day I'm not going to talk about marijuana, and that lasts for about maybe 10 minutes, and then my inbox gets full, and people are calling me, and my wife's saying, can you go outside to handle that conversation, please? And, you know, because a lot of the conversations I have are with victims, and it's depressing if you just talk to victims all the time, and so for me also being it, you know, seeing what the grows are doing in my community and trying to stop that and trying to get politicians to come along, yeah, with so many politicians taking money from the industry now, that's super difficult.
Yeah, as people are voting, we should throw that out there, because we are we're ahead of a big election. Mm-hmm. It's really time to take a look at where people are taking money and what are they supporting. This is a big, big deal, because the policies they set, that's how you wind up with the dope stores in your town that are marketing to children, back to the beginning of the show. That's all. That's not being done by you. I mean, that's being done by people we've elected.
That's a huge part of all of this, and I think that also ties back to drug prevention. We need political leaders that are going to advocate for drug prevention and for stopping marijuana to become big in our own communities.
Hannah 2.0, what's going to be on Hannah's list in a year? And then where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Well, she can't say, because otherwise she's working. She can't just tell him, hey, I'm going to blow you off in 6 months. For God's sake, Anna, don't answer that. That's a terrible question.
No, it's okay.
Are you going to stab your employer in the back, Anna?
Yeah, don't share this one with your employer. That's okay.
No, it's okay. It's okay. They know I'm very passionate about marijuana prevention, and they support me because they see it too. And, I mean, long-term, I don't know where I'm going to be, and I question it on a daily basis, but I just try to connect with as many people as possible and see where I can best utilize my passion and my skills. And, so I guess we'll see, but I hope it's somewhere preventing people to falling victim to the marijuana industry.
The Hannah Palmer Foundation.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
I don't know if I'd want to make it that much about me, though. I don't think I'd want to use my name.
Oh, it's too late now. Way too late. But, you know, just FYI, if you go look up Hannah Palmer, because I was going to pull your picture off LinkedIn. I saw you had a profile on there, and I put Hannah Palmer LinkedIn and did a search. You know, you're very busy. You have a lot of alter egos. There are a lot of people named Hannah Palmer doing some really cool stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so you can hide right out in the open. I think you'll be all right.
Okay. Perfect.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm curious if you had to do an elevator speech for a parent who thinks that their teenage kid using marijuana in some form or fashion is no big deal. What would you tell them in, like, you know, 20 seconds before we say goodbye?
Yeah, no, I would say that is something that they need to take very seriously. Today's marijuana is so much different to what they might think it is, and the consequences are a lot worse than you might think it is. So I would highly encourage them to go out, look up some of the stuff, find other parents that had kids that were using, and see what happened.
I have crippling depression.
What?
Yeah. Well, that was weird.
Where did that come from?
Your average marijuana user.
Okay. We have to jump off. Hannah, thank you so much. We look forward to speaking with you again in the future, and you can catch all of this on the archive at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
No, thank you guys so much. It was awesome.
Thanks, man. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Oh, you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.